Today's podcast is brought to you by Newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, Newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, Newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at Newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night. Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Do you think you are part of that 75%? I really didn't think that I would be, but when asked to list out all the subscriptions I paid for, one or two slipped through the cracks that I totally forgot about, one of which was for something that I swore I canceled forever ago. Think about it. Between streaming platforms, apps, delivery services, and even parenting/kid subscriptions, though they all seem like small amounts, when pulled together, that's a pretty big chunk of your spending money out the door. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting time on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/morningcup. That's rocketmoney.com/morningcup. rocketmoney.com/morningcup.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning. Cup of murder.
A night out partying can sometimes have unforeseen consequences. On June 26, 2003, a jury began their deliberation in a strange case involving pre-gaming, drugs, alcohol, and driving under the influence. So, if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. On October 25th, 2011, Shantae Mallard and her friend Talisi Fry split some ecstasy and smoked a joint while pre-gaming before making their way to Joe's Big Bamboo Club in Fort Worth, Texas. They spent their evening dancing, socializing, smoking some more, and drinking a little too much, and by 2:30 a.m., Shantae was ready to go home. Fearing her friend was too intoxicated, Talisi insisted that she should be the one who drove them home, brought them back to her house, where Shantae decided that she wanted to sleep in her own bed, and drove off. On her way home, still hazy from the mixture of drugs and alcohol, Shantae Jawan Mallard hit something in the road that, sticking to her windshield, blocked most of her view. She pulled over and, to her horror, there lay the mangled body of a 37-year-old homeless man named Gregory Glenn Biggs. She tried in vain to move the man lodged in her windshield and, unsuccessful, pulled back onto the highway, managed to make it home, pulled into her garage, and parked her car. She never called the police and left Gregory Biggs on top of her vehicle. With a body to dispose of, the following morning, Shantae picked up her former boyfriend, Cleet Daniel Jackson, and took him back to her house to show him what happened. He, along with his cousin, Herbert Tyrone Cleveland, ripped Gregory from the glass and then disposed of his body in a nearby park. They then set fire to part of the vehicle in hopes of disguising any and all evidence. Gregory's body was found in Cobb Park on October 27, 2001. A death that may have remained a mystery had it not been for the fact that Shantae, at a party 4 months after the incident, told Miranda Daniel that she, quote, hit this white man while laughing. She called in the tip, police went to Shantae's home with a search warrant, and found the blood-stained, dented car with the front passenger seat charred in the backyard. Shantae was arrested on February 26, 2002, charged with failing to stop and render aid, and released on bond until, on March 6, 2002, she was rearrested after a medical examiner looked into Gregory's injuries and charged her with murder and tampering with evidence. The reason why? Upon examining his remains, the medical examiner determined that, had Shante called the police or rendered aid to the man that she hit with her vehicle, he would have definitely survived the incident. A fact that was made even worse when they learned that Shante was a former nurse's aide. On September 12, 2002, Herbert Cleveland pleaded guilty to tampering with evidence and was sentenced to 9 years in prison. As part of his plea bargain, he agreed to testify against Shante Mallard. The same happened with Cleet Jackson, who was sentenced to 10 years in prison. On June 23, 2003, Shante Mallard pleaded guilty to tampering with evidence, but innocent of the murder. In addition to both Cleet and Herbert's testimonies, Captain Jim Sauter got on the stand and told jurors that there was, quote, not a member of the Fort Worth Fire Department that could not have saved Mr. Biggs's life, placing all the responsibility on the woman who not only hit him, but let him die while lying on the hood of her car inside of the garage. The defense, who did not dispute the events on the evening in October, told the jury that this was not a case of murder, but of pure accident. All the while, gruesome photos of Gregory's mangled body were being shown on a large screen for all to see. His mother, sister, and son had to excuse themselves to avoid seeing what was left of the man that they loved. According to the defense, Shante, who was just one exit from her home, drove with, quote, a body entirely in her car, the head in the floorboard, legs going in directions no one thought humanly possible, while the prosecution argued that she could have easily driven to a nearby fire or police station or called an ambulance at any time. According to the testimony of Tittalisi Fry, Shante called her at around 3:30 a.m. and begged her to come pick her up. She did, and as they drove around, Shante told her friend everything about what just happened. They then drove around for an hour while Shante tearfully looked for her ex-boyfriend. When they got back to the house, Tittalisi finally saw Gregory's body and, believing he was still alive at the time, ran into the house and told Shante to call 911. She refused, the pair argued, and Tittalisi stormed out. While some testified to how shaken up Shante was after the event, Tittalisi testified that Shante continued to smoke and to drink the rest of the night. The jury began their deliberation on June 26, 2003, and the following day came back with a sentence of 50 years in prison for the murder and an additional 10 for the tampering. The terms must be served concurrently, and Shante will be eligible for parole after serving 25 years in 2027. During her sentencing hearing, Shante sobbed uncontrollably while she apologized to Gregory's son and her own family. She told the court that she deserved the sentence she was given. Brandon Biggs, Gregory's son, filed a wrongful death suit that was settled out of court. He claims he chose to forgive Shante and the others involved with the murder, and in response, convicted murderers from around the country raised $10,000 for a college scholarship and presented it to Brandon, who, at the time, was a 20-year-old pastoral ministry sophomore at Southwestern Assemblies of God University. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear a terrible thing happened on June 27th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.